Hey, welcome to the podcast. This is The Surge Effect, and I'm your host, Mike Surge. This podcast will be talking about anything and everything, life in general, to current events and past events, and all things about this beautiful and wonderful world that we live in. And this podcast, well, it'll probably have an effect on you. Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Surge Effect. Today's podcast, we are going to be talking about yesterday's budget that came over in the House of Commons. But before we get started, I have two advertising people that always are mentioned on this podcast. The first one is Love My Legs Owen Sound Grey Bruce. You click on the link below and it'll take you right to their Facebook page and you can see what they have to offer. The only lifetime guarantee in the leggings business. They have numerous leggings to choose from. Our second sponsor is He-Shirts, She-Shirts. He-Shirts, She-Shirts, they are more than just another T-shirt company. They have all different types of clothing to choose from. You click on their link below, takes you right to their webpage, and you'll see what they have to offer as well. All right, and like always, before I get started, I'd like to mention a couple of items. Two items, same as the last podcast, are my sound equipment that I use. My first one is the H6 Zoom. Link in the podcast below or in the description below. And my second one is my beautiful Rodecaster Pro 2. It's a great little piece of kit and you will not be disappointed. Go and click on the link below and check them out. All right, so let's get into today's podcast in regards to yesterday's budget, which was April 16th. We got a few things to go over, and I'm going to play a few videos as usual, and we'll talk about them as we go. So let's get started.
Trust Fund Trudeau, the guy who hid his own fortune, his own family fortune, in a trust fund so that he could protect it from taxes, while raising taxes on everyone else, is not going to take money from the billionaires that give him free vacations on islands in the Caribbean. We already know where the money's coming from. It's coming from single moms, seniors, and small business owners. He says he's not raising taxes on the middle class in this budget. He already did on April 1st with a carbon tax that makes every middle class family pay more than they get back in rebates. And let's just review the numbers here, because I know the media has been trying to cover this up. This is across the country in the carbon tax cost for the average middle class family. This year, Albertan, the middle class, this is the middle quintile, the Alberta family will pay $911 more in taxes than they get back in rebates. Saskatchewan, $525 more than they get back in rebates. Manitoba, $502 more than they get back in rebates. Ontario, $627 more than they get back in rebates. Nova Scotia, $537 more than they get back in rebates. PEI, $550 more than they get back in rebates. Newfoundland and Labrador, $377 more than they get back in rebates. These are numbers that will increase over time, and these are the numbers for middle class fund families, the middle quintile, according to the parliamentary budget officer. So it is the working class people that Justin Trudeau is ripping off with his high inflationary taxes and spending, and everything else he does today will be political theater designed to distract from that.
Of course it will, because that's what he does. It's simple. Now, when he was just describing about the numbers that people pay, and then, of course, the carbon rebate that they always, Trudeau and Freeland always argue about in the House, that people get more back than what they're paying. Well, that's bullshit. Like, it's just common sense. Think about it. It's common sense. Why would anyone in their right mind give you more money than what you pay for something? Why would they give you more? What's the point in paying for it? What's the point in putting out the tax? It doesn't make any sense at all. A little common sense goes a long, long way. So here's Freeland, and this is her opening statement.
We are acting today to ensure fairness
in the budget
for every generation.
Yeah. All those people, by the way, they're all making $200,000 a year. All those MPs at the back benches, they're $200,000. All those cabinet ministers, of course, are making more. We'll go over that in a bit.
We are moving with purpose to help build more homes faster. We are making life cost less. We're driving the kind of economic growth that will ensure every generation of Canadians can reach their full potential. And we're making Canada's tax system more fair by ensuring that the very wealthiest pay their fair share.
The wealthiest pay their fair share. I'll go over that in a bit, too.
We're doing this because it's a fair chance to build a good middle-class life, to do as well as your parents and grandparents, or better, has always been the promise of Canada. But today, millennial and Gen Z Canadians can get a good job. They can work hard. They can do everything their parents did and more. And too often, the reward remains out of reach. They look at their parents' lives and wonder, how will I ever be able to afford that? The same anxiety haunts those of us who care about our younger generations, their parents and grandparents. What many parents have achieved for themselves, a degree of comfort and security, we want for our children and grandchildren. We want their hard work to be rewarded, as it has been for us. We want them to look forward to a future with a sense of anticipation, not angst. Nous sommes à...
So there you go. That's her opening statements in the for the budget yesterday. So I'm just going to play you a few more. I'm going to key one up here. This is some people were just asking a few questions to Freeland, and I'm not going to play this whole thing because it's kind of boring. But I'll get to one of the questions that were asked of her here. And, of course, she always gives her little non-answers. It's always interesting when she does that. So here we go.
Calgary Forest Lawn.
Conservatives told this Liberal NDP Prime Minister to stop. Stop his spending, his deficits, inflation, and his tax hikes. But this Prime Minister blew right through that stop sign, dumping $40 billion of fuel on the inflationary fire that he started. This photo op budget is going to do nothing for the average Canadians who can't afford a home and groceries today. Will the Finance Minister tell us how much each Canadian household is on the hook for the $54 billion of just interest charges on this Prime Minister's debt?
So he asked a question. How much is each household on the hook for in Canada?
An equally brief answer from the Minister of Finance, Deputy Prime Minister.
Let me just share then with the member opposite the good news that we got today, which is that inflation for March was 2.9%. For 3 months in a row, inflation in Canada has been within the Bank of Canada's target range. Thanks to Canadians, that is very good news for our country.
You hear the people across the way yelling, how much, as the PCs, how much? How much is each Canadian getting basically stung by not just this budget, but for the last 8 years of the Liberals being in party? How much? She can't even answer a simple question. She's the finance minister that's telling us how great our lives are in Canada and how great we all have it here in Canada. It's insane. It's just absolutely insane. So here is Pierre Poilievre, his closing arguments, and not arguments, but closing statement at the budget yesterday.
Fix budgets and stop crime. That's our common sense.
Okay. A ninth consecutive deficit, with the budget still not balancing itself. And everything on which the Prime Minister spends gets worse and more costly. He has spent, and Canadians are broke. The country is broken. We have a doubling of housing costs. We have 8,000 people joining a Facebook group to study how they can get a meal out of a garbage can. after food prices have gone up faster than at any time in a generation because of the carbon tax he's imposing on our food, a carbon tax that with the help of the NDP, he plans to quadruple to 61 cents a liter. And today, did he learn anything from these catastrophic failures? No, he doubles down on the same failure with $40 billion of new deficits, $40 billion of new spending, that's to say $2,400 for every family in new debt and new inflationary spending. And now, for the first time in a generation, we're spending more on debt interest than on health care. That's money for bankers and bondholders rather than doctors and nurses.
Right.
And the great example of how wonderful government can be, given after a tremendous theatrical pause, was the government's purchase of the Trans Mountain Pipeline. What would have happened if the government had just gotten out of the way, asked the finance minister? The answer is, the thing would have got built with private money rather than $30 billion of taxpayer bailouts.
That's right.
In fact, a project the prime minister said would cost $5 billion is up to $30 billion.
Wow.
Mr. Speaker, that is 500% over budget. It is $2,000 in costs for every single Canadian family for a project the private sector was going to be building on its own, and the company that was going to build it bought out, taking the money to Texas, where they're building Texan pipelines with Canadian dollars. All of our exes are in Texas, Mr. Speaker. And then, to close it off, we got some of the most hair-raising ideological fervor from the minister, who says that what Canadians really need is a stronger government. Well, they have created a stronger government in order to make for weaker and more suffering people. This is not a government that gives people everything they want. It's a government that takes everything they have. But the good news, Mr. Speaker, is we want big Canadian citizens with a smaller and more efficient government, where the state is servant and not master, where our priorities are clear: to axe the tax, build the homes, fix the budget, and stop the crime. And as soon as the NDP takes away its support from this Prime Minister, we will have a carbon tax election where the people will be able to make that decision for themselves in a country where they can earn powerful paychecks that buy affordable food, gas, and homes in safe neighborhoods. The country that we all knew and still love, a country based on the common sense of the common people, united for our common home. Your home, my home, our home. Let's bring it home.
You're here. Let's bring it home. Makes a lot of common sense there, doesn't it? So you heard Freeland speaking when she was doing her opening statement there in regards to making things fair, and then it's about taxing people. When you tax the rich, or tax the people that have done really well, if you tax people who've done really well, whether it's in Canada or the States or anywhere in the world, if you tax these people a lot, you're basically punishing them for being successful. These people had drive, they had initiative, they had the intestinal fortitude to push forward with an idea, to sell that idea to the masses, to create something that no one else could. And for that, they get to be penalized by paying a lot of tax because they want to pay their fair share. But people are forgetting the big picture, especially people that don't make a lot of money or people that are really poor. They go, oh, they should pay their fair share. They should pay a lot more taxes. Well, here's a good question for you. What was the last poor person that you knew that created jobs? I'll give you a couple seconds to think about that. Oh, that's right. You can't think of it because there is none. Rich people create jobs. People with companies create jobs, people that have ideas, people who have, like I said, the intestinal fortitude and the forward thinking to move forward, to push forward because they're creative abilities, and they get to get penalized. They create jobs. Here's what Joe Rogan has to say about wealth, about people that are wealth, have wealth.
So I'm going to be talking out of my ass. But I would imagine they're probably low on funding, too. There's probably a lot of issues, especially in places that are poor, because they rely on taxes from those people. Yeah. It's all very complicated, but the idea of taxing the rich being the way to fix all this. No, you're just going to give more money to the government, and they're not really good at doing stuff. You know, I mean, would it be nice if rich people donated to fixing streets and schools and stuff like that? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it would be. Good call. Also, fat people shouldn't be buying fucking fudge rounds with food stamps.
Yeah.
Also, that's not
good.
Yeah,
and that's...
So basically, in a nutshell, what you're saying there about about rich people, like we were saying about paying their fair share and all that other stuff, but if they want to donate to stuff, then by all means, they could do that. But making them pay more is not the answer, because Europe tried that. This is a lot of times people don't hear about stuff like this in the news. But Europe tried to do that. So if the wealth tax is such a good idea, why did Europe kill theirs? You know why Europe killed theirs? Know exactly why Europe killed theirs. Maybe you don't, but this is what they did. They tried to basically tax the wealthy so much that the wealthy people kind of went, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm not really too keen on basically most of my wealth being thrown to the government, who's going to just spend it silly-nilly, because that's what they do. So in Europe, it was a flop, because normally progressives like to point to Europe for policy success, and not this time. The experiment with the wealth tax in Europe was a failure in many countries, because France's wealth tax contributed to the exodus of an estimated, get this, 42,000 millionaires between 2000 and 2012, among other problems. One last year, French President Emmanuel Macron killed it. Of course he killed it. You know why? Because like I just said, you're taking these people that have created jobs, created this wealth, and they're putting taxes into a system, into an economical system. You pull all that money out of that economical system, and the system kind of collapses on itself because there's no structure to hold it into place. They leave, and their system starts to crumble because now they have no tax base to pull from. To even make it even better, places like California, they were going to actually try to put it in law to penalize people that leave their state because they're taking their wealth with them. They don't want that. So they want to penalize them for doing so. Think about that for a second. It's craziness. Absolutely craziness. But this is what they try to do because they're trying to overtax the wealthy people. So if you have anything to remember about Trudeau years ago, this is 2014, just before he became prime minister. He had an interview, and this is what he had to say about budgets. This is ridiculous.
In this economic climate, how committed to a balanced budget would you be right now? Would it worry you to go into deficit in this current climate to, as you say, put more people to work?
The commitment needs to be a commitment to grow the economy, and the budget will balance itself.
The budget will balance itself. Isn't that something? The budget will just balance itself. Just easy peasy. Yeah, well, I got news for him. The budget didn't balance itself. Because right now, if you go online and check out the debt calculator in Canada, the debt calculator in Canada right now is right there on the screen. $1,222,712,331,954. That's our national debt. Your share of that's over $30,000. We spend, hold on to your hat, this is debt that you pay for every single year as of today's budget, because what you do is you take the number of our debt, which is $109 million a day. You times that by 365, and this is the figure that you get that we pay in debt every single year, $40 billion. That's what we're paying every single year for debt, interest on our debt. That money could be going towards other things. Who created that problem? You're right. The liberals created that problem. And they're saying about housing and stuff like that. Well, check out these housing prices. These housing prices are across Canada. Check them out. There's the little legend in the bottom, and there's the prices right there. Ontario, for instance, they range anywhere between $500,000 and $700,000. There's the legend you can look at. Edmonton's $407,000, Vancouver's over $1 million, Calgary's $600,000, Winnipeg's $400,000, Montreal's $600,000. This is insane. This is why young people are living at home with their parents, because they can't afford a house. It's too expensive. This is what Pierre Poilievre has been saying. But the Liberal government, for some reason, they think that we're having such a great time. The Canadians are just, everything's peachy keen. Don't know what we're talking about. You know, how about rent? How about rent for young people? Look at these. Apartments for like a one bedrooms, like $2,000, two bedrooms, 2,300, three bedrooms, 2,600. These are apartments, condominiums. Same thing, 2,100 for one bedroom, 2,400 for two bedrooms. These are rentals. But man, we got it great. It's just, you know, liberals say that Canadians just have it so great. It's insane what they're doing. Absolutely insane. I've showed this here on my last podcast. This is the price that the wages and the salaries of the MPs in our house get. They just give themselves a raise of $23,000. So they're all making over $200,000. I said that earlier in my podcast. I said we'll get to that later. This is later. Ministers are making $300,000. Prime Minister makes over $400,000. These are numbers you can find online very easily, very quickly. But yet they're turning around. They're saying that, you know, that they have Canadians' backs, and they're here for Canadians, and they're doing such a great job for Canadians. So in a nutshell, this is the this is Frank Tarazano. This guy is a watchdog for Canadians, and he basically describes the budget in a nutshell right here in this little clip.
I just had to go through the budget so you don't have to. And let me tell you, it's bad, real bad. These massive deficits have sent interest charges soaring. Interest charges on the federal debt will cost taxpayers $54 billion this year. Okay, so interest charges on the debt will cost you, dear taxpayer, more than $1 billion every single week, which means that interest charges this year are costing taxpayers more money than what the federal government will send to the provinces in health transfers. $54 billion hit just in interest charges on the debt this year. Now, the federal government is trying to frame this budget as fairness for every generation. Well, hold on a second. How is doubling the entire federal debt that the Trudeau government has done, how is that fair for Canadians' kids and grandkids who are going to be hammered by massive tax increases if the government doesn't actually cut spending? Now, the deficit. This year's deficit, $40 billion. We're not in a pandemic. Why is the federal government borrowing $40 billion? And you guessed it, folks, there's absolutely zero plan, no plan to balance the budget. In fact, the best that this government is willing to do is, hey, wait a couple years and we'll bring down the deficit to $20 billion. It's absurd. The debt is now $1.2 trillion plus, and when Trudeau first came to power back after the 2015 election, the debt was about $600 billion. That means that this year, Trudeau will have officially doubled the entire federal debt. And why is the debt ballooning? Why are deficits ballooning? Why are interest charges on the debt costing taxpayers more than $1 billion every single week? Because the government is spending out of control. Okay? Remember, Freeland once said that they would find $15 billion in savings over a handful of years. Well, this year, they're increasing spending by $30 billion. So newsflash for the finance minister, any of these politicians over here behind me, if you increase spending by more than $30 billion in 1 year, you're saving money wrong. And guess what? More tax hikes, okay? So the federal government is increasing capital gains taxes. Now that's going to bring them about $6.9 billion extra, cost taxpayers $6.9 billion extra this year. Well, we did the math, and the way that this federal government is spending, they're going to blow through that cash before they hit the bars on Friday night. Less than a week, they already blow through that cash, right? Because here's the thing. This government could win the lottery every single day and still max out the credit card. Because guess what? Their problem isn't revenue. They have a spending problem. This government has no plan to reduce spending. It has no plan to balance the budget. The only plan that this government has is to try to take as much money away from taxpayers, from you, as they possibly can. So let's go through the numbers one more time. Interest charges on the federal debt will cost taxpayers $54 billion this year, or more than $1 billion every week. The deficit, $40 billion, no plan to balance the budget, and the debt will have officially doubled under the Trudeau government. So you know what I would have to say to Mr. Trudeau? It's time to put down the credit card and pick up the scissors.
100%. So that, in a nutshell, basically was Frank Carrizano telling you like it is about yesterday's budget, and what it was all about. It's all about taking people. It's all about taking as much as you possibly can from everyone, even the rich people, like you just described. You can't do that, because the rich people go, see ya, and then they'll take all their jobs and everything with them. This is the way it works. This is just the way it works. It works in every other country. It works in the States, works in Canada, works in Europe. It's the way it works. So yesterday's budget was a joke. Freeland and Trudeau and all the other liberals that are sitting there and clapping, they're making over $200,000 a year. Say to yourself, how long does it take you to make $200,000 a year? What do you have to do to make $200,000 a year? What time and effort do you have to do to make $200,000? How long does it take you to make 200 grand? They do it every single year. And they don't even work as hard as you do, right? They really don't. I mean, they sit there and they argue. They don't answer questions in the House that are just simple, simple questions. Freeland just was asked a question, how much is it going to cost each household with this new budget? She couldn't answer that simple question. And she's right across the aisle in the House. Couldn't answer a question. Anyway, listen, I'm ranting again like I always do at the end of these podcasts because I get kind of fired up. So I'm hoping that the information that I've given you about a lot of different things, whether it's just this podcast or other podcasts, help you out in some way. Leave a comment below. Let me know what you think about all this as Canadians. I'm a Canadian. You're a Canadian. This is our home. This is where we live. And we have to make our life better, not worse. All right. Till next time, everyone. Thank you very much for subscribing and liking to The Surge Affect. Ring the little bell. Ting, 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 and you will be notified every time I post a new video. I am on Rumble. I can also be found on Spotify or any other Apple or Android device by using an app to find podcasts. Just type in The Surge Affect, and you will see my black logo, TSA, with a microphone. And I'm also on social media. I'm on Twitter as well. I try to keep everything posted up, keep everyone informed what's going on in this world, keep yourself informed, keep yourself educated, and hey, have yourself a great day. Cheers. This episode sponsored by He Shirts, She Shirts. Go to www.heshirtssheshirts.ca. Just type in the letters TSA, The Surge Effect. When you check out, type in TSA for your coupon and receive 10% off your next purchase. Thanks for listening to today's podcast, everybody.